When you hear of a popular brand success like Skims, Rode, Rare Beauty, or Aloe Yoga, you may think that all just comes from having a great product. But most people don't realize that it's the business behind the business that drives that success. There's an overlooked secret that makes selling and shopping simple. And that secret is Shopify. So the secret's out. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. It's the home of the number one checkout on the planet, meaning way less carts abandoned and way more sales going. I've been using it myself for 2 years with my own brand of women's feminine clothing and lingerie, so I know what the hype is all about. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/forthegirls, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/forthegirls.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we have such a fun guest, Aliza Ben-Shalom. She's a renowned matchmaker, dating coach, and reality TV personality from season one of Jewish Matchmaking. It's on Netflix and was apparently a major hit. I was doing my deep diving, so I seriously cannot wait to watch it, especially now that I had the conversation with her. I would have watched it before for like research purposes, but our like connection from like getting in touch through email to scheduling the interview to actually having the interview happened so quickly. And girls, it's summertime, okay? I am on Love Island season, but it does end. Actually, by the time this episode comes out, Love Island will be over. So I may already be watching Jewish Matchmaking by the time this episode comes out. So very excited for that. Aliza is influencing the dating scene, not only through her work, but also on social media through her content. And she has a famous 5-5-5 rule that we talk a lot about. And she even has a book coming out called Matchmaker, Matchmaker, Find Me a Love That Lasts. And it's available today for pre-sale if you girls want to check that out. I will have it linked in the show notes. In this conversation, we're talking about why dating and finding love is so hard, how to keep momentum going in the early stages of dating, how to stop self-sabotaging, how to actually get past the first date onto the second and third date and beyond. We're also talking about some summer dating, what the red and green flags are to make note of when meeting guys out this summer. And we wrap it up with the Dear Victoria segment around instilling boundaries with your overbearing in-laws. Now, if you're listening but want to watch this episode, you can head over to YouTube. The video will be there. Of course, this is a great episode to listen to, but I think it will be even better to watch. Now let's get right into the episode. Okay, everyone, welcome Aliza to For the Girls. Aliza, so excited to have you here. Introduce yourself to the girls and tell us about what you do.
Okay. Hi, girls. I'm Aliza Ben-Shalom. I am a matchmaker and dating and relationship coach and support system for anybody who needs support to figure out how to get from where you're at to where you really want to be, which is probably in a lovely, healthy relationship. And I work with people of all ages, stages, and backgrounds. In terms of matchmaking, my audience is primarily Jewish, and that's my network. In terms of coaching, we can work with anybody. And what's super exciting is that I have a new book that's coming out, so it's going to really help you. It is called Matchmaker, Matchmaker, Find Me a Love That Lasts. And if you're like, oh, I'm already in a relationship, that's cool, because it can help you to help somebody else to find their match. Because I believe that everybody, if you're not a matchmaker professionally, you should be doing it as a hobby. Everybody.
Yes, absolutely. Wait, let me just say, because you just hit the nail on the head, my boyfriend and I were set up, not by a matchmaker, but by, so it's actually quite funny. This woman is his friend. I didn't know her at all. She just followed me on Instagram and was like, so it's her husband's best friend. She was like, my husband's best friend is single, and like, I follow you and you seem like aligned. And she set us up and we're together for a year and a half now.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Okay. So now you have to do the favor back. So you have to and you have to now help somebody and set them up.
I love that you just said that.
It's the biggest gift in the world to set somebody up.
It is. We always tell her like that she should be a matchmaker, because she also set up her husband's cousin with, I forget the dynamic, whether it's her friend or somebody, and they're married now. So,
okay, like, but it's not that she should be. She is a matchmaker.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it professionally. That's my whole point. I do it professionally because it's what I love, and this is what I spend my days on. But everybody has hobbies, right? Some people play golf and some people do yoga. And some people, like everybody, should also just be making matches on the side. Everybody knows somebody and everybody meets people and everybody knows somebody single. That's the thing, mm-hmm. of all ages, you know? And even when you find a person, it doesn't always work, or people lose people, or if they get married, sometimes they get divorced or widowed. There's like complicated situations, so there's always somebody for us to help.
Yeah, it's so true. I was single for 10 years and constantly saying to people like, how do you not know anybody for me? Like, how is that possible? Then it took one person who just had it in them, and they were like, you know, I could set these two up. So worked out. I love that. How did you get into matchmaking professionally? Was it something that you were just good at as a person, and then, you know, you took it on as a career, or how'd you get started?
I think the answer to that would be yes, in the way that you described it. It was similar to what you described, like somebody, oh, they set you up and hey, it just happened to work. So I kind of did that from like middle school, even younger than middle school onward. Like, I set my brother up with my girlfriend and they went to like the camp dance together. That was probably the earliest memory that I have of matchmaking. And then I remember in middle school, you know, like, oh, I think he likes you, I think she likes you, and kind of being the go-between between people. And then in high school, college, I remember had a coworker and we were hanging out, and then somebody else, like a girlfriend, came over and I was like, oh, you guys, oh, this, and I like disappeared out of the situation. I was like, oh, Elisa, move, get out of the way. And I let them talk. I kind of like went to the bathroom for half an hour and hung out there so they could get to know each other. And I don't know, I kind of fell into it. When I was newly married, I had two young children and I was like, oh my gosh, I love my babies. I've always wanted children. I wanted to have a family. It was the most important thing to me. And I was like, but I need adult stimulation also. Like, I can't just be like all day long. So I asked my girlfriend, I'm like, what else do you do? Like, I don't want a job. I want to be at home with my kids. I want to be a stay-at-home mom, but what can I do to give back to the community? And how can I don't know, do something meaningful? And she's like, oh, I'm a matchmaker online. And I was like, stop the presses. Tell me more. What does that mean? And she connected me with a website, J Matchmaking, and hooked me up so that I could start to do matchmaking online. And it developed from matchmaking into coaching, and from coaching into training coaches and training matchmakers and building my own team and building my own company. And then, you know, of course, landed me on Netflix, which was I was dreaming of being like a wife and a mommy and like building my own family. And now I get to help other people build their families too, which is my greatest joy in the whole world.
Wait, that is so crazy. Like, you are just looking for like a work from home, stay at home mom gig.
Yeah.
And you built like a whole empire out of that.
It, you know what happened? So in 2008 in America, there was this recession, like the whole
like world. The economic,
the housing industry kind of fell hard, and my husband's business was in that area. And he's like, look, I know, you know, you're home now, but like, we need help. And I was like, I know. I was like, I'm a matchmaker. And he's like, great, sweetheart, like, need something to help you us pay the bills. And I was like, it doesn't really work that way. This is like a volunteer thing. He's like, okay, you can get a job and do that on the side. I was like, no, this is the most important thing in the world. I want to help people build families. He's like, so build a business, right? Like, it was just like, it was so obvious to him, if this is what you love, then do it professionally. Don't do it as a hobby, and don't only do it for like a little bit here and a little bit there. Actually do it, take it seriously, and build something that's worthwhile. And that's how we got started from hard times.
Yeah, wow. That's actually an amazing story. And when you mentioned Netflix, like, was that something that was you knew was coming, or were you like, who is this that just DM'd me and asked me to do a show? Like, how did that kind of transpire?
So I have this dream, and I still have this dream. I'm going to say have, not had, because I don't think I've reached it yet, but I want to help as many people as possible in the world to find their person, to get married, to build families. I think that families are the stabilization of the world and the biggest gift if it's done right. And I was like, I have to reach the world. And in order to do that, I need a big platform to make that happen. So I started dreaming, like, I'm going to do something big. What are you going to do? I was like, I don't know. I'm doing something really big. And this was like in my Aliza, you know, dream world head. And I'm part of like a manifestation, visualization, mind map kind of thing. And I got a call from a girlfriend, and she's like, hey, so a casting company called me and they asked me to do this show. She's like, I don't want to do that, but you'd be good at it. And I was like, I'm looking for a show. She goes, gave them your number, pick up when they call. And I was like, okay. And then it was like, yeah, we're casting for this show. I was like, what network? They're like, we can't tell you yet. You know, it was like,
yep, that's always the case.
Little by little by little. I was like, well, I'm only doing something really big. So if it's not really big, and then another company called about a different show. And I was like, oh, okay. I have options. And then I found out the one that I did was Netflix. And I was like, well, that's the one that I prefer. I want to have the largest impact, and they have the biggest impact right now. So yeah. I started praying, and I kept asking them. I'm like, what do I have to do to win you over? Like, you tell me, what are the rules of the game here? Like, I know how to do dating. I don't know how to do casting, you know? And they're like, no, just be yourself. Just answer our questions. And, you know, if it works, it works.
Wow. That really is such a blessing. Like, it is crazy. Like, you get the vision and then it comes to you. Like, it happened.
I felt like it was like you said, I had the vision and I was like magnetic and drawing something towards me. And I kept praying, please only send me something that's good for me, not a show or a program that's bad for me or just bad for the world. I didn't want any, you know, there's a lot of shows out there that aren't the highest quality content and don't put people in a great light. This one, I think, shows a beautiful side and many different sides to matchmaking, many different sides to Jews and Judaism. And I think it's really fascinating. And it's a little bit of like a docuseries. So like it's a reality show, but it has a lot of real world Judaism woven through it. So we're the sister show to Indian Matchmaking, which was an enormous hit and people fell in love and they're like, cool, let's do, you know, a spinoff. Let's do Jewish matchmaking. And that's kind of also how this came about. It was already in the works thanks to Indian Matchmaking.
Oh, okay. Okay. So yeah. So you were like set up for success with that. So that's wonderful. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I have like a quote that I've always just said in general that was, if it weren't possible, you would have never had the vision, because we're just so much more powerful and like stronger than we think. And so we tend to get these visions and these ideas and things that we want to do, but then we like, our mindset tells us like, but that's too big, or like, that's not possible. But if it weren't possible, you would have never had the vision in the first place. If it's possible for one, it's possible for you. If it was possible for Indian matchmaking, then it could be possible for Jewish matchmaking. So right. Yeah, I think that that's a beautiful story. And I love that. I have to watch it because we kind of got in touch and set this up pretty quickly. And I'm watching Love Island right now, I have to say. So like after Love Island's over and after this episode is done, you're next.
Making a Netflix.
You're on my to-do list. You're next. Okay.
Well, I like being on people's to-do list.
Oh God. All right. So listen, you obviously get it. If you're in modern day dating matchmaking, then you know that it is hard. Like I mentioned, I was single for 10 years. So I know that it's hard. What is it? Like, what is it about nowadays? Why is finding love and dating so hard these days?
I think there's a couple reasons, and this is like the tip of the iceberg here. So number one, families in general are not super stable. If we look at the divorce rate, it's over 50%. If we look at the happiness factor of the 50% that stick together, right? I don't have the number on that, but it's not super high. And people don't know how to live a satisfying life with a partner, long-term, sticking with the same human being, right? I live my whole life with myself, right? That's the only person in the world that I will forever from birth to death be with is me, right? And now I'm choosing a life partner to live out a large portion of my life with. How do I not get bored? How do I keep things alive? How do I keep things moving in a good direction? When I change or he changes, how do we keep things together? How do we make it work? It's not so easy. And right now, we really don't have great role models. So I think that that's number one, one of our biggest challenges. Number two is that the world is so big and it became so small that I can talk to anyone, anytime, anywhere. Okay? It could be 2 o'clock in the morning. I could be talking to somebody across the world. They could be much more interesting than the boy next door or my neighbor next door, or my friend or anybody down the street. Like, when everything and everyone in the whole world is open to you, actually, you have nothing. You have nobody when you think that you have everybody. A lot of people talk in business, you need a niche marketplace, right? Like, this is for the girls, okay? You didn't say this is for the boys. You didn't say this is for the adults. You didn't say this is for the teenagers. You made this specific. Who is this for? The girls, okay? It's clear, right? It's clear. We know who this is for. But dating wise, like, the whole world's open, anybody, anywhere, like, it's too much. I don't know who it's for anymore. I don't know where to find them. I don't know how to find them. And then everybody has to be their own matchmaker. And you're not just searching locally in your own little neighborhood. You are literally searching the whole world at any time. And you have to be your own professional matchmaker and go through the databases. You know what? All the apps, the app is a fancy word for you are your own matchmaker on a database. And without any training. So if you're really good at this, all my people who are like, I don't know if you're like this, but like spreadsheet people, like they
type A people.
Okay. Type A, mm-hmm. They have lists for their lists. Okay. If you are one of those people, somebody did that. They hacked the dating system by literally like looking at the algorithm and figuring out what they wrote and how they got responses. And they hacked the system and that's what they did to it. But if not, how are you going to use the system? You have a database. Great. But you have like 5 million people to search through. And probably, let's get honest and real, 15 out of 5,000 are going to be relevant to you maybe. Maybe. And maybe 20 will be interesting. But, you know, those other 5 you're not really going to like. But they're better than the rest of them. Right? Like, there's not so many people that we actually click with, match with, make sense with. On one hand, it's like, I could match with anybody. But do you like anybody? Do we pick friends based on anybody? Does everybody just have a friend that's just anybody? No, like, there's a vibe, there's an energy, there's similarities. We click, we have common interests. Like, there's things and personality that make up a match of why it works and why it doesn't work. And if you don't understand how to make it work, people are like, I guess you'll just know when you know. I'll figure it out. And my answer is, no, you won't. And I have a friend who says it horribly. I'm repeating it, but it's not mine and I don't like it. He's like, you're just going to die alone. And I was like, you can't say that. That's so mean. I was like, that's horrible. That's so wrong. He's like, no, but it's true. Like, if you can't make a decision and you don't know how to go through the process, you're never going to be able to be with anybody. And that part is true. If we don't figure out how to hack our own selves and our own desires and our own personalities and what works and doesn't work. If we don't get the dating, relationship, love, matchmaking, long-term relationship system, how can you use it? It's not just finding somebody. Okay, we could find you somebody. Can you keep them? I don't know. 50% of us can't. 50% of us, 50%. Who wants? Okay, I'm going to give you a job. Okay? 50-50, it works out. I'll let you know in a month. Like, those are not really great odds.
Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience cravings, bloating? If so, then you need Hormone Harmony, the solution for women of all ages to maintain optimal hormone levels. It reduces bloating and discomfort and supports your mood and general well-being. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in the reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, it's so true. Well, first of all, you hit the nail like on every single head from start to finish when you just said the first thing you mentioned was about being bored. And I've brought this up in a few episodes talking about like, because a lot of girls will literally say things like, he's perfect. He checks every box, but I'm bored. And I'm like, yeah, that's what peacefulness feels like. Like, you know, you're too consumed with the chaos from being single, the chaos from going out and meeting guys and getting ghosted, and like it's exhilarating and these feelings. Like, listen, if you're genuinely bored with someone, you're not stimulated by someone, okay, maybe they're not your person. But if it's just a matter of like nothing's going on, then like then you need to work on yourself and you need to grow up, because guess what, a lot of the time in a long-term relationship, nothing's gonna be going on, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles, because you're at peace in your relationship. So that is one thing. And then the other thing, just how you keep mentioning about access to everybody. We watch this on The Bachelor. We watch this on TV. When you are presented with too many options, the vision gets blurred. You could have the perfect person right there in front of you, but sabotage because there's access to this one and that one. I mean, it's funny that you mentioned about like the apps and having access to people all over the world, because a few years ago when I was single and going to Italy, I downloaded Hinge or whatever, and I set it to Italy. And like, I met guys from it. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to go to Italy and I'm going to have my, like, my romance, whatever it is, Eat, Pray, Love, whatever movie it is where they go to Italy. Like, I'm going to have my romance. And like, I met these guys. Like, it was that simple, like at the snap of a finger. Like,
that's
you can meet people anywhere. And when you have access to too many people and too many options, and maybe like the wrong mindset, then you're going to get too overwhelmed and too caught up in that. If somebody had the mindset of like, listen, I'm genuinely moving to freaking Ohio, so I'm going to set my app there because I want to meet somebody because I'm moving to Ohio. That's one thing. But when I was on the apps and I was talking to guys, I would notice their location changed all the time, because every time they traveled, work trip here, bachelor party there, whatever, they would move it around because they want to meet people everywhere and have access to everyone and everything at their fingertips. Right. And that's not the mindset of someone who's looking to have that stable home, to build a family, to settle down, right, which is a whole other conversation for another day. In just society, they're trying to eliminate that altogether. So, you know, we're seeing more of like the societal norms of current day of like not settling down, waiting till you're much later to do that. And I'm not here to knock it. Everyone could do whatever they want. But, you know, if for me, it was like taboo almost to not meet my boyfriend until I was 27, 28, because my mom, my grandparents, my cousins, they were all married with kids by then. So, right, you know, I have a different outlook on dating and relationships. And to me, it always made dating very hard that people nowadays were like mid-20s, like thinking that they're still 15. Like, I'm in no rush. So every single thing that you said right there is so relatable.
The other thing that people say, they're like, well, I'm not really in a rush. I can do that later. And the thought process is later when I go to do it and I want to do it, I'm going to do it right away, right? So like, I'm going to wait until my career is established. I have a car, I have a home, whatever's on the bucket list, right? They knock off everything and then they hit somewhere around 32, 33, 35, 37. And they're like, okay, now I'm ready to find my person. And then they go to look for it. And it's as if it should be there there immediately. And for some people, then they wake up and they're 45 and they're like, but I don't know where the time went and I don't know why it didn't happen. And the answer is that we never know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. We had this mindset that there was this fairy tale of happily ever after, but that I could get that at any point I wanted, right? Because if I want a job, I can go get a job. It doesn't have to be my dream job, but I could get a job tomorrow if I needed to. If I needed to make money, I could do anything. And then you just change it. But with marriage, I'm not looking to change it, right? So like I want to pick my person and stick with my person. And in order to do that, it's not just me is the problem, right? It has to be mutual. So I have to say I want you and you have to say you want me back. And finding that is really hard, especially the way that you described it. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet, right? And that's what the apps are. When you go to a buffet, right, when you have everything available to you, what do you come back with? A stomachache, right? Nobody comes back feeling very good. You don't feel satiated. You usually feel stuffed and nauseous, and you might not want to eat for 3 days, right? People come back from a cruise, and they're like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. But like, oh, the buffet, like I don't want to see food again for another month, right? So with dating, we have an all-you-can-eat buffet of as many singles as we want. And what do you come back with? Nothing. I don't pick one because I don't have to pick one. I just have everyone. But everyone isn't one. We just are looking for one human that we can enjoy because that's where the deep satisfaction comes. But we like it's so hard to just get to that. Like even you finding your person, you're like somebody had to make that intro. Now you're together a year and a half. That's a significant relationship in terms of relationship time period. That's actually significant. And it's not so not easy to find. It's so, it's also so much work.
Yeah. So much work. It really is. And I also think too, like something that was a reoccurring pattern for me, or at least maybe this was the story that I was telling myself, but something that we see a lot is self-sabotage and like these little things that like we know that we do, but we can't help ourselves from doing. And I'm curious, like for you, like when it comes to your clients, like have there been common trends of like you having to tell a client like, maybe you are the problem. Like these are ways that you're self-sabotaging. Like, is there maybe one thing or a few things that you notice a lot of people do with self-sabotaging in dating?
Yeah. The thing that a lot of people do is they either don't give something long enough, like they cut it off after one date, two dates, three dates, it's done, or they do it the opposite and they let it run on for too long. Right? So the ones that are quick to judge, it's like, no, no, you need to give somebody a little bit of time and give yourself a little bit of time to warm up, to see if something can be there, to see if something could develop. So we have to kind of slow them down. And the ones that let it go on for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 3 years, and you're like, but it's not your person. They're like, I know, but maybe eventually one day they'll change and they'll be right for me. I was like, no, we have to speed up your decision-making process. They're not going to be right for you if they're not right for you. We're not trying to change them. We're accepting who they are and seeing where they're in alignment with us and if there's enough in alignment to keep us together. So I think that those are the biggest mistakes that people are making. And if we can kind of bring everybody to the middle, a reasonable timeline in the beginning, I like people to go out at least 5 times. Like I like them to just see somebody. If you know right away, like there's people that you meet and you're like, never, nope, don't, I don't even need to see you for another 30 seconds.
Right.
That's it. But with a lot of people, there's like this, I don't know. And I don't know just means I can't say yes, but I probably shouldn't say no either. It just means you need more data. Just need more information. You need another date.
Yeah, you need to collect more evidence, whether they are or are not. It is so true, though, because I've always talked about like when I was single, that dinner dates like to me were the only sort of date that I went on. Whether or not people agree is not my problem. I think for me in dating, it should feel romantic. Like I never once went on a coffee date. I never whatever. And everybody's argument on TikTok was always, because I made content around this, everyone's argument on TikTok was always like, no, what if you don't like him? And what if, you know, that then you have to give somebody 3 hours of your time versus 10 minutes at a coffee shop. Let me tell you something. If you know how to date properly, first of all, you don't need to go on a 3-hour dinner date, even if you do like the person. That's number one. Number two, I went on out to dinner with somebody who, how you just said, I don't even need to see you for 30 more seconds. We didn't even make it past one drink and one app. we were like gonna sit and like get apps and like drinks and dinner and whatever. We sat down from literally ordering our drinks and appetizers. I already knew. I was like, there's no way I'm going to spend more time with this person. So when we were ordering and he was like, all right, what do you want to get for entrees? I was like, let's just put in the apps and drinks right now. We'll do the entrees after. So the drinks and apps came in 10 minutes. And then I was like, oh, I'm so full. Like, yeah, I'm not really feeling great. Like, I'm going to go home. We were on this date for about 35 minutes. I'm sorry. That's going out to dinner, that could be the same thing as going to a coffee shop. Like for me, I like a more romantic setting. I like a more like,
you're right about that, by the way.
Yeah. Like
you're a good matchmaker.
Yeah. Like the ambiance, like everything. And so at the end of the day, even if you know that you don't like this person, like you can leave. You are not stuck on a date. You can leave. So whatever, that was just a whole other tangent because it aligned with what you were saying. But I think my other question too is sometimes, and I experience this myself, and I notice a lot of girls experience this when they send in like their Dear Victoria questions, is that like they don't feel like getting to the second or third date is really like in their control. They just kind of wait to see if they're going to be asked to go out again. So like, what advice would you have for someone who maybe gets stuck at that first date? Like they go out, like, is there something that they're doing wrong? Or like, what is it that they're not really getting asked to go on the next date? Maybe they get ghosted after the first. Maybe they make it to a second, but never a third. And it's not like they're getting cut off and told, I'm not feeling it. They just don't hear from the person again. So what is that about?
Okay, so if it's not just like a not good human that you're dealing with, right? There's a slew of those. Let's put those people aside. Let's talk about what somebody could do. So first of all, the other person needs to see that you're enjoying the date. If they see that you're enjoying the date, then they think that you're enjoying them on the date. So they're very excited and they're very happy to be there with you because they think that they're the cause of that, which should be partially true, that you're enjoying the person that you're with. So number one, you should show enjoyment and show interest. Like I've had people come back to me for coaching and they're like, yeah, I don't know if she's interested. Like I didn't get the vibe. And she calls me and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I really liked him. And I'm like, really? Because he couldn't tell. She's like, well, I mean, I didn't want to like be obvious about it. And I was like, because why? Like, what do you mean? You
like, know I didn't want this guy to know that I'm dating, that I'm actually interested in dating him.
Right. And I was like, well, I that's the purpose of it. Now, you don't have to be all over it like, oh my gosh, and you just can't wait for you to call me for the next day to be amazing. But you could say a story, you could give something over and you could be like, oh, and there's another thing. But I'm like, oh, I'll tell you that next time we go out. You just throw that in there at some point. Like, oh, you mentioned next time to show that you're interested in the next time. That gives him a clue because otherwise they don't always have a clue. Like you're the person you're dating, your partner doesn't always know that you actually want another date, even though you think that you might be clear or you might have given a sign or a signal. Like it's not actually always clear to the other side what you mean. So we have to throw one or two or three things in there, which is it's kind of like flirting with the idea of a next date. You know, like, oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you that now. Like, how long do we know each other? Like, only 2 hours? Like, I'll tell you that after we've known each other for, like, 20 hours, right? Like, just, again, hinting or leading towards something where you're saying there's something more after this, right? Or something where, I don't know, you went out on a Sunday and you had a great time and you're like, oh my gosh, this week is going to be so busy. But like Wednesday, I am totally free. It would be awesome to like go to a park or hang out. Do you ever do anything like that? Now, I didn't ask him on a date. I didn't tell him to ask me on a date. I just asked him if he also likes doing this X or I'd love like kind of, again, like leaving room for him to be like, oh my gosh, I need a vacation on a Wednesday too, you know, like let's get over midweek hump day. Let's, you know, let's hang out. Let's go do something. It leaves an opening. So if there's a way for you to leave an opening, show that there's interest, like plant a seed that there's a potential future. Cause I mentioned next week or I mentioned our next date or I mentioned after so many hours or whatever it is. This is on the spot. But if we sat and brainstormed, you have to see what like the moment lends itself to, but you got to give a clue that you want some follow up. And the truth is modern day, I have seen women asking men out and they sometimes are like, I love it because now I know she's interested and it doesn't really bother me. It goes both ways. It's not like just a traditional thing where it has to go one way or another. But I think that modern day everybody's doing everything. So like, just do what naturally comes to you, but don't be like overly aggressive about it, because being overly aggressive is a little bit much, but just like show interest, a little playful, a little flirty, like, we could do this, or, you know, like, do you like that? No? Yeah, me neither. Okay, quick. You know, like, save yourself. Yeah. Like, test the water. They're not into it. Bail out. Try something else. They're not into it. Bail out. Okay. I do this in business also. Like, I've sometimes like planted a seed or mentioned something to see how somebody reacts. And if it's like not a fit, and it happens once, and it happens twice, and it happens a third time, I'm thinking in my head, okay, this is not going anywhere. Like, there's no room for this to work. And the same thing works in dating. Like, if you're trying to plant a seed and you're trying to like build a connection, and somebody doesn't grab onto it, and you try once, and you try a second time, and you try a third time, something's not right. They're like, we're missing something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I always say, like, you know, don't be embarrassed to be excited about like going out with somebody. Like, you know, I'm like a very like wear my heart on my sleeve kind of person. And, you know, a lot of girls, they have, because of how many times they've been, whether it's ghosted or just not asked on a second date, now they just have this like fear around it, and they don't want to get their hopes up. It's always like, oh, I don't want to get my hopes up, so I don't want to like whatever. For me, by the time that I met my boyfriend, I had been on and off the apps a million times. I had gone on a million dates. I met a ton of guys, and I could have felt the same way. Like, I don't want to get my hopes up. But I said, I have a good feeling about this one. I went into the hair salon. I got my hair done. I went and got a little blowout, which, like, listen, I didn't say give me an updo like I'm going to a wedding, but I said, just give me a nice blowout. Like, I want my hair to look good. Like, you know, I want to feel good. Like, don't be embarrassed to like put yourself out there. What's the worst thing that could have happened? It didn't work out yet again. Okay, well, my hair looked good and I felt good. And I was feeling myself, and I was at least
a good coach. You need to come join the magic.
At least in that case, I would know I was true to myself. Yeah. And if it didn't work out, I wouldn't have turned around and said, what was wrong with me? I would have said, I was my lovely self. I looked good. I felt good. And he just didn't like me. So that just means that we weren't a fit for each other. Like, at least I would know, because I also know that there have been times, how I mentioned self-sabotage, that I went home like, I wish I didn't say that, or I wish I didn't do that. Like, there were times where I knew I was like doing the thing that like I don't like to do. And if I didn't hear from him, I would be like overthinking, like, did he not call me because I did that thing? And at least when you're like totally true to yourself, you're feeling good and all that, you're not going to sit and dwell on like, what did I do wrong? At least, at the very least, you know, like, I didn't do anything wrong. He just didn't like me. And like, that's, you know, perfectly fine. So I think that a lot of girls, with everything you just said, like, they're afraid to show that interest because they've been let down so many times that they're like, I don't want to get my hopes up.
Okay. So let's just, I want to put this in here. You should expect to be let down every time, except for the time that it works. Dating is a 99% failure rate. It's supposed to be that way so that you don't end up with the wrong person. So if you know that going in, like, if I were a basketball star and I told you the statistics are, out of 100 shots, you will miss 99 and you will only make one, okay? Then as you're shooting and you're missing and you're missing and you're at 47 and 62 and 83, right? And you're like, it's okay, because one out of 100 I'm going to make. Then you wouldn't be disappointed because you'd know the statistics. So really, it's supposed to be that it really doesn't work with so many people. And it's a huge blessing, because why would you want it to work with somebody who's wrong? It would be so difficult to figure out who's right if it always worked with everybody, but it didn't really work. Like, in the end, it really just fell apart. So it's great that it doesn't work. And we should look at it and go, thank you. Next. Okay. I had hope in it. I liked it, but you didn't like me back. Okay. That's not for me. Next. Okay. You liked me and I didn't like you. Oops. Okay. Next. Let's keep going. Like, 1 in 100, it's going to work. And approximately, you know, like, somebody can come. I've had people, they're like, I've dated 300 people. I was like, okay, well, talk about your dating techniques. But other than that, you know, like, if it's not working, it's supposed to not work. And basically, when I was dating, it also just didn't work with people until it worked with my husband. And I had, you know, people that I dated for a little bit of time here and a little bit of time there. But like, in the end of the day, it didn't work. It didn't make sense. It didn't look right, sound right, feel right, until it was with the right person. And then it did work. And that was a huge gift that made clarity possible. Because otherwise, if you went out, okay, let's just make up a story, right? I've got 10 people for you. Each one is better than the next. More amazing. You get to go out on a date with everybody. Now pick the one that you want. Can you make a decision? If I give you 10 amazing humans, somebody will be like, it's cool, I could pick. No, you couldn't. You would always live with regret that the other one was better, right? If you get so many no's and all the wrong people, when the right one comes along, you're like, dude, you're my person. Yeah. I know what's wrong and everything else out there is wrong. This works. Thank God I have clarity about this. And that's the blessing in having all these no's. So if we can just switch the mindset and know that a no is a normal, you should get about 99 out of 100 and not feel terrible about it. I think that we could get through the dating process a little more gracefully.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is so true because, you know, you go on dates with people and then everyone wants to find the yes. So it's like, oh, all these things, like these things are so great. I could see myself with someone like this. I could see myself with someone who has a family like that. I could see myself with someone who has a job like that. So you're looking through all the yeses when in reality, like every single one of them are going to have more no's than yeses because they're not going to be your person. So you're going to constantly, you have to sift through the no's until you could then say, okay, that's why it was all of these no's, because this one is the yes, and they can't all be a yes because then you'd have 500 boyfriends. And I don't think that that's acceptable at any, in any modern day or past tense. I don't think that was, I don't think that that was ever part of a part of the plan. So, exactly. But you mentioned before, I think you might've said something like 5 hours. I know you have a 5-5-5 rule. So I want to understand this technique because you mentioned that the 5-5-5 rule helps with maintaining like the energy and excitement in the early stages of dating. So what is that based on and how do you coach clients to use that?
Okay. So the 5-5-5 is there should be no more than, well, first of all, the mentality should be that you're going to go on 5 dates. If you could agree to go on date one, you could agree mentally to go on 5 dates because then you're setting your head up like for six, I don't want to say for success, for like in the right mindset so that you can say, okay, I'm going to just give them a shot. I'm going to give me a shot. We're going to try this for 5 dates. That's the mentality going in. Then I want people to have dates that don't last any longer than 5 hours. And like you said, in the beginning, like an hour and a half, 2 hours, 30 minutes, if it's a, you know, one and done, but like that sometimes people, I had somebody come back, they're like, we spent 9 hours together. And I'm going, no. And they're like, no, it was amazing. And I was like, no, what's left for the next time? They're like, no, it'll be okay. I'm like, no, like we need to leave somebody wanting more. We need to leave them curious about more. And we don't want to give somebody fatigue. And we never know how long or what somebody's stamina is. And if you're fine with it, probably they're not. And so it's too long. So we want the mentality of going out on 5 dates. We want the also mentality of knowing that you're not going out for longer than 5 hours, and less than that is much more appropriate, and no more than 5 days between dates, right? So if you're going out, you know, on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'd love you to go out during the week. If not, by Friday, we need you to go out. We can't let time lapse. If we're going from Sunday to Sunday to, and everybody's too busy to go out, you lack a dating momentum. I love when we get 3 dates in 10 days. That's my favorite because mostly I'm going to gain a lot of clarity, and I'm almost like if I don't know or I'm in an in-between state, I don't have to wait 3 weeks to figure out if I like you or you like me or what's going to happen. You're not clogging up my calendar and I can go about my life and figure things out. So that's the 5-5-5. It's mentality of going out on 5 dates, no more than 5 hours and no more than 5 days between it. And then I'm going to throw in a bonus, which is no touching for 5 dates. And people think that I'm nuts. They're like, are you from this planet? Like, oh, I know that, like, you know, I'm Jewish and I happen to be observant, which means that I hold by some different rules and a little bit, you know, more stringency and awareness with touching and things. But I'm going to tell you something that works with everybody from every background, from every walk of life. If you go out with somebody for 5 dates and you agree at the beginning, and I've had people from all different backgrounds say to their date, listen, I just want to let you know I'm following Aliza's thing, like no touching for 5 dates. And the date's like, really? And they're like, yeah, after 5 dates, you know, whatever. She looks the other way, you know? So they're like, cool, I'm game. If they play the game and they go out for 5 dates, everybody knows. They know, and I know, and I don't even have to talk to them. everybody likes everybody if they make it to date six. Who's going to go out with somebody five dates, no touching, and still want to see them a sixth time if they don't like the human being that's there? So now in five dates, we just accomplished like 3 months of work. And then I tell people, like, still, you should take it slow. But, like, whatever happens, happens. It's not my problem, right? But I know that you're invested in the human being. I don't have to get a phone call. Sometimes I get calls. They've gone out five times, six times, eight times. And they're telling me I slept with them on the first date, second date, third date, whatever the story is. And I'm like, okay. They're like, but I don't know if he likes me. And my answer is, I don't know either. Just because they slept with you doesn't mean they like you. But if they go out with you five times and they don't touch you, 100% guaranteed, not 99, not 87, 100% guaranteed. They like you and you like them. Will it last forever? I don't know, but it should last for a decent amount of time if they both are willing to do that. There's a huge investment and it just, I mean, like literally it solves so many problems. It's the most miraculous thing. I've gotten notes from people, messages. They're like, you won't believe it. I just got a message. We're together for a year. And I told my boyfriend at the beginning, we're doing this five date, no touching thing. And he's like, sure. And if I like you, I'll double it. I'll even do 10. She's like, well, I won't. And they're together already for a year. So like, it's incredible. It's like one of the best, I'll call it like diagnostic tools and things that you can measure, right? You know, like, I don't know. I need to do a study. I need somebody to help me. If you're out there and you are one of those people that like do studies, call me. Because I want to do a study and I want to take like 100 people who do the five date challenge and I want to see how they go through relationships. I want to measure everything and I want to prove that, I mean, I have the proof because everybody can just try it. It works. And if it doesn't work, like you dump them and like no love lost. Who wants to just like add another notch to their bedpost for somebody that doesn't matter?
Yeah, no, it's so true. I do want a question though, like, do you find that it's best to tell them or to not? Because my mindset, maybe this is like the pessimist that's coming to me, is to be like, I don't know, what if a guy really wants to sleep with you and he's like, I'll suck it up for five dates because like I know that on the fifth date, like that I'm gonna get it. Like, is that
you shouldn't sleep with him on the fifth date. My recommendation is still to hold out for like 3 months. That's a whole nother story.
Oh, okay. Because like my question was like, is it good to tell them that you're like kind of doing this or like not? And just like stay true to not doing anything for five dates. And like then if they ask, you would say, yeah, I have this like thing.
It comes off weird if it's not talked about. Because it's not normal in secular culture to date like that. In observant circles, community and friends, like I got married and I didn't hold my husband's hand or touch him until after we got married. Like it's like, you know, like the I do the moment, like this is it. And he held my hand and like that was the first time that I touched him. So it's not normal not to touch, not to be physically intimate. And I didn't grow up this way. I grew up, you know, like a secular, I'll call it normal lifestyle and then became more observant. I don't know which lifestyle is normal, but whatever crowd you're from, if you understand what I mean, you get it. But I think that it's more normal to just say like, you know, I learned this technique that if we like each other, like, and we're still going out in five dates, like we can introduce physical touch. We're not going crazy, but like, you know, like we're going to do this no touching for five dates. I heard it works really well. Like you game? And if they tell you no, probably they're not really into you anyway. Like I have had multiple men tell me numerous times. Again, I would date 5, 10, I'd go 20 dates. If I really liked her, like if she told me however long, like make up a story, he's like, I would just follow if I was into her. So my answer is he's just not that into you. Like it was made a movie for a reason. He's just not that into you because he's just not that into you. Like he's not – It's not
rocket science. Let's put it that way. It's like you know if somebody likes you or you don't. I have given sort of like not to say different advice, but just a different like perspective where I've told girls it actually doesn't matter if you sleep with him on the first or the 10th date because if he likes you, then he'll like you either way. Now, if he doesn't like you and you slept with him on the first date, then you made it easy for him to just not see you again. Perfectly fine. But either way, if he didn't like you, then he wouldn't have liked you even if you waited till the 10th date. So it almost like wouldn't even matter.
But I'm going to throw something back at you. Like we're going to challenge a little
bit. Yeah.
I think it does matter if you sleep with him on the first date. And the problem is he won't know if he likes you. It's not if he likes you, he likes you. It's very hard. And it's hard for women too. It's confusing. Do I like you because of how you make me feel or because of who you are? If I like you for who you are, then when we introduce physical touch, and I also like you for how you make me feel, okay, now I like both sides. But if I like you for how you make me feel and I don't know if I like who you are, I still might break up with you in date 10 and I can't figure it out because it's too confusing, because I'm trying to figure out two things at the same time. And especially with men, I'm sorry, but they don't multitask well. So if we could just figure out that they actually like you as a human being and knock that off, great. Then when we introduce physical touch, great. You can figure out if you like that. They figure that out much faster. Great, done. Now we have one and two together. It's just very hard to do simultaneously. And it's hard. I'm telling you, as somebody who went through it and experienced also, when you introduce physical touch, imagine a friend comes over, even they pat your shoulder and they give you a hug and you're like, oh, I needed that. I just, right? We're humans. We crave and need physical touch. As babies, if babies are not hugged and loved and physically touched, you'll see them in the orphanages like this and they rock back and forth. Why? Because they're self-soothing, because they need to be held and nurtured and loved and cuddled and moved and touched. We have to have it. So if we introduce it at the wrong time, it does hurt. It does harm us. I agree. If they like you, they like you. It just sometimes takes them 3 years to figure that out. I had a couple. This was devastating, devastating. She came to me. They had been dating for 4 years. I'm going to tell you, 4 years is not dating anymore. 4 years, whether you're married or not, it's like you're married. Okay. Yeah. And she says to me, I don't know if he wants to marry me, or I don't know if he's ready to marry me. And I don't know if he likes me enough to do that. 4 years. 4 years. Do you know what kind of internal trauma and stress? And I said to her, listen, this isn't like an ultimatum, like marry me or not. This is just, you have enough data. We've been together for 4 years. And if A, you don't know if you like me, and B, you don't know, you know if you like the concept of marriage enough to be with me, and if you want to get married and have a family, you're going to have to move on now. And you have to mourn the loss. And like, even though you never got married, you have to like get divorced. Like, it feels, a breakup after that much time feels like a divorce. It doesn't feel like a breakup. It is traumatizing and it's really difficult. And for a man or a woman or anybody to say that after that much time, what do you mean you don't know? Yeah. 4 years? How do you not know? I could diagnose it in 5 dates. Don't touch for 5 days, your first 5 dates. Or if you already messed it up and you just heard this podcast and you want to try it. Right? like hold off. You will know. You'll know if you like the human being.
Yeah.
You'll know. There's nothing else to confuse you. Nothing. Nobody. I'm telling you, nobody is sticking around if they don't like you. They're not – I'd like to prove your theory wrong. They're not going to stick around 5 dates even to sleep with somebody. First of all, I don't recommend doing that. But even so, they still go out with somebody else who's going to get with them on a first or second date anyway.
Right.
It's not worth sticking around for 5 dates. I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to see you. I don't have to tolerate it. 5 dates is a long time to tolerate somebody that you don't want to be with. And if both sides agree and they like each other and they make it to a date 6, it's practically a miracle. It's –
Yeah, 6 dates is, it's an investment. I mean, 6 dates is now weeks, if not months, of like seeing somebody. So yeah, it's absolutely an investment. The way that I initially pictured it in my head was almost like, you know, telling a young kid, like, when you cross the finish line, there's candy at the end. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you get there, you'll get the prize. Like, you'll get the reward.
It's not like that. I mean, I dangle it
in front of their head. Like, if you make it to 5 dates with me, you get to see my top off like that.
Right. Okay. So that's not the attitude. This is more like I learned this new thing and like, it's like proven. Like, if we like each other for who we are, then like, as we introduce physical touch slowly, then like, it'll confuse us less.
Yeah. It's more of like presenting it as like, these are my morals and my values. Yeah. And like, this is how like I feel. I mean, listen, by no means when I question it, by no means is it reflective of me, because I was celibate for a very, very long time. So for me, physical touch, not hard to go without. But I just know how people are in today's age. And, you know, and so that's why, like you said, like, you know, it proves itself like right away.
Right. Well, and that's why also I know it's hard. And that's why I say 5 dates. I'm not telling you to date like me and not touch till you get married. That's only for people that are committed to that kind of a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, religious Jews or Christians or Hindus or Muslims. Like if you're in a faith-based religion, that might be a part of your culture. But if it's not a part of your culture, we could steal a little bit of wisdom or borrow a little bit of wisdom and say, let's just try it for 5 dates. And it happened again. Somebody out there, you're going to contact me. We're going to do a study on this just to show the worthiness of it. Because again, also if somebody doesn't want to stick around for 5 dates, they're probably not marriage minded either. So that's great. Get rid of them. They don't actually want to be in a long-term relationship or marriage anyway. So like, why do I have to even waste 2 dates with you? You know, if this doesn't interest you, like see you later, no problem.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just think it solves like I do have a marriage and long-term relationship mindset. That's just how like I think. And I'm trying to hack the system of how we get to that end game faster, quicker, better, easier, with less heartache and heartbreak and also less emotional traumas and scars.
Yeah.
And this to me is a system that works. And also like the way that you described it, I'm not trying to like everybody has different opinions, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to like present another opportunity and try something else on for size. Like if what you're doing isn't working, maybe try my way. See if you like it. If you don't like it, try somebody else's way. There'll be other podcasts. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Like you don't know what works until you try it. And if you are in this cycle of, you know, chronically single, dating and not making it like, you know, further along, like then no harm, no foul. You give this a go, you give this a try. And like, I think it's a great. I think that it makes perfect sense. And I also think that people need more patience in dating. And I think that this theory, this, you know, like tactic, however you want to call it, provide, like it kind of requires you to date with patience. Everybody has this like need for instant gratification. And like they meet someone, they like them. And then like, they want the commitment right now and they want to move forward right now. And they maybe get a little bit ahead of themselves because maybe they have been single for a long time. So it's like, I finally met somebody that I'm interested in. Right. Like, I don't want to lose this one. I don't want to mess this one up. And I think that this is perfect for instilling that patience that I think that we absolutely need. I've always preached like, you know, you need to have patience because if you don't, like you're going to be so hard on yourself and it's going to make dating so much harder. And so, no, I think that it's great. And it makes perfect sense too. Like you said, like everyone's culture and values are different, but right. I also don't think that that you'll ever be like, I don't think that you'll ever see a negative side to like cherishing yourself. Like no matter right. what your values are, I don't think there will ever be a negative outcome right. to treating yourself like the prize.
That's a really good point with like the 5-date challenge and also like the no touching for 5 dates. You won't make it like it won't be wrong for you. It won't be bad for you. Mm-hmm. You do it the other way, it might. You might be traumatized for life. But this isn't going to do you any harm. It's going to bring clarity faster and easier, but the patience is there too. Like it brings clarity faster, but it doesn't bring that satisfaction as fast. That has to come later. It's like delayed gratification.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I love it. I'm here for it. I want to talk about like a little bit more tangible advice as far as dating, because it is the summer and people are out and about and they are meeting tons of people, whether they're in the Hamptons and they're, you know, they're going out and seeing people all the time. Like this is that time where there's a lot of like meeting new people and a lot of mingling happening. But it's also the summer where a lot of guys don't like to settle down and whatnot. So I want to know like from your perspective, like dating just like in this time of year, like how can girls like use it to their advantage? And then on the flip side, like what are some like red flags to look for when you are dating in this time of year?
Okay, so let's start with the red flags. The red flags are like, oh, I'm just looking to have a good time. Oh, I'm just in town for the weekend. You know, oh, I got to go see my buddies. Oh, I'm so busy. Like when there's already excuses before you even got to hello almost, right? Those are definitely things that are red flags. And at the same time, the green flags or the good things could be like, wow, I'm in from out of town, but I'm here for a couple weeks. You're like, oh, okay, good, right? They're identifying that they're sticking around instead of like pretending that they're not. So it could just be like a one night fling. I would say showing interest, like there's hard to get, right? Which is like a thing and people like to play that game. but they have to show enough interest and they have to like reach out. So if you're doing the chasing and you're not being pursued, I think that it's just not as healthy. I don't mind if we drop hints. I don't mind if there's flirting. I don't mind if there's like a, you know, how are you doing, a check-in or something like that. But like if you're constantly reaching out and the other person is not reaching back, they may or may not be interested. They might just be too busy. We don't know what the situation is, but I don't like when people are chasing. Green flags, like somebody actually asks you out on a date. They meet you at a party and then they're like, hey, you want to go grab ice cream and go take a walk on the boardwalk or whatever the story is, right? That they ask you out on a date that's private between the two of you as opposed to public with like all the friends and hanging out with the group. That's a really good sign. That's a green flag. And this time period, the summer time period, it's a really romantic time period. In general, like they say, love is in the air. Love is really in the air. It's actually a beautiful time of year to meet somebody. You just want to, you're not going to assess whether they're like marriage minded. We just want to know whether like, you know, they're five date minded. Like if they're just, again, too busy or they're like, oh, and all these things are going on and family obligations and this, if they start telling you about all of their obligations, they're not really into being obligated to you or to anybody. Or they're just distracted. Like, I don't want to say take it personal. Don't take it personal. Just know that it's not the right time period. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else is like, if somebody's not right for you, like maybe they have a friend. Like it's totally fine to be like, you know, like, I don't know, sounds like you're really busy, but maybe you have a friend, you know anybody who's looking for somebody? You'd be like, oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Cause they don't think about it at all. So, and if they are interested and you say that and they're like, wait, you're like, you don't want to go out with me? And you could be like, oh, I thought you were too busy, right? Yeah. Like, so it could be a win-win because you could play both sides.
What do you think about girls like meeting guys out and like approaching them and maybe not necessarily like asking them on a date? I know that you kind of mentioned that a little bit before, but not even directly being like, hey, want to get dinner, but like approaching a guy, flirting, like telling him he's cute, asking for his number, like stuff like that. Do you have any, like, not to say stats, but like results on girls being the one to make the first move?
The men happen to like it because then they know that you're interested. They might still not know if they're interested, but if they know that you're interested and there's like five girls and you're interested and the other ones they're not sure about, they may go for you first because they know that that's going to be a yes instead of a rejection. Men typically get rejected. I know women think that they get rejected a lot more than men, but men typically have to make a lot of bids to a lot of different people and they get rejected a lot. And so they're like, some of them are really intimidated by that. And like, they just like, they'd rather not try. I'm actually all for women asking men out or giving them their number. I'm going to tell you a funny story. When I was younger, like in my late teens, early 20s, I remember going out with a whole bunch of friends. It was a group thing. And there was one guy that I was like interested. And I like took a piece of candy and I took a piece of paper. Here, I'm going to show you what I did. It's so funny. I scribbled my number on the piece of paper. I put the candy in the middle. I crumpled it like this and I took it and I threw it because I was in one car and he was in another car and I threw him my number and he actually caught it. And he's like, oh my gosh, it's a sign. You're my person. And I was like, oh, don't take it that far. I just thought we would go out.
I just thought you were cute.
Like, yeah, like I don't know that you're my person, but like I just thought you were cute. And whatever. It didn't work out. It wasn't totally was not my person or anything like that. But like I asked somebody out. I would say make an effort. If you have interest, don't be like OCD, obsessive compulsive, but like show enough interest so that they know. See if it's mutual. See if there's any feedback. If yes, yes. If no, no. Like it's okay to move on. And again, like let's expect that out of 100 efforts, once it's going to really work with a great human and the other times it's not. And that's okay. So you're like, oh, not my person. Okay, next. Or like not my person now. Sometimes it's the right person, but the wrong time. So if it's the wrong time, you might be trying to go for something that's just not timing wise. It's just not going to work. So don't, this is the other thing that's really, really important. Don't write somebody off completely, meaning put it out of your mind. But if somebody would come back to you that you had approached and they're like, hey, I'd actually love to take you out. Don't be like, oh, well, you didn't want to do it then. So I'm not interested in now. Like, don't do things like that. Just say, Yeah, sure. I'd love to. If you have interest and you're available, then say yes. It might have just been bad timing. Maybe the guy went through a breakup. Maybe he just lost a job. Maybe his best friend died. Maybe something. I don't know what the story is, but like maybe something happened and he didn't say no to you. He just said no to the timing. Mm. So just have that in mind because that happens so often. And people like they get insulted, they get personally offended, and then they like miss the opportunity when it comes up in the right time and they turn it down. And I'm like, no, that was the moment. You missed it. So don't miss the moment. Like leave it so that if it comes back, you can evaluate whether it's appropriate for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think like on that scale too, like you mentioned before how girls asking guys, not necessarily asking guys out, but you were saying like, oh, Wednesday I'm free and might go for a walk in the park, blah, 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 like that whole thing. I think that for the summer, that's also a really good tactic as well, because there is so much going on that like requires just say like outdoors, like there's like the festivals and like the right. The food things, like all the little like things, especially like if you're like the New York area, like the city, like right. They have like all different right. Like vendor events and stuff like that happening, like something like that, everything you just said right there, it's almost like you're not necessarily setting yourself up for like rejection, but it's like, I'm going to this thing on Saturday. Like, want to come? Like that sort of thing. Like, oh, I'm going to, you know, this again, I mentioned like food festival because it's just the summer. They have these things everywhere. Oh, I'm going to this food festival in Williamsburg. Like, are you free this day? Like, you should come with me. So it might feel like less of a want to get dinner with me and more of a like, I'm already doing this thing with or without you. Would you like to come with me? And then you don't feel like, you know, you're going to get super rejected if they say no, because it might be like, I, you know, like you said, bad timing, it might not just work out. And it's less of like you asking him on a date and more of just like, I'm already doing this thing, so it'd be nice for you to join me. So I feel like this is like, it's like you said, love is in the air. Like it's that time where you can do these things.
It is. People love to fall in love in the summer. It's like a summer loving.
Yeah, it is so true. Okay, we're just about time to wrap up. But before I'm going to ask you one last question, and then we're going to get into a Dear Victoria segment, which is where I have girls send me like their situations that they need advice on. And then I like to answer them in the end of my episodes. But I like to save the ones that are like kind of on brand, like on topic when I have a guest. So yeah. I have a good one for you. But before we do shift to that, I do just want to know in general, if you have any, you know, last piece of advice or something that you feel like we didn't mention, something that you didn't touch on that you like to typically say when it comes to helping girls finding love.
The thing that I usually do is I love to give a blessing, because I think that the whole world, just like a car needs gas and it goes, like you got a vehicle, right? So like we have who we are. We're amazing. But what powers us and fuels us is the blessings, the belief that this can happen. So I just want to give a blessing that anybody who is looking for love, that you should find it, please God, this year. And anybody who's found love, that you should continue to develop it and take it to the next level in the right time.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was amazing. Okay, now let's get into the Dear Victoria submission. Okay, I need some advice on boundaries. I recently got married in the end of March 2024. We are nearly 4 months into being married. Navigating a new normal, moving to a new city, and a new life is tough as it is already. I've been coping with that pretty well, but I'm having difficulty setting boundaries with my pushy in-laws who live about an hour and a half away from us, between someone in their family of six always wanting to come over and not being respectful of my space or time, or always wanting us to be over their house if it isn't them at us. So at ours, something I'm struggling with is my mother-in-law reaching out to me every 3 days with phone calls and comments about needing to communicate and interact more. She wants us to be very close, but the pushiness is actually causing an aversion where I get anxiety and feel extremely overwhelmed. I fear that this pattern will continue forever if I don't set boundaries now. Instead of openly voicing my concerns, I try to get the point across with actions by only occasionally picking up the phone when I am free and not inconveniencing myself to accommodate when things work for them. My husband has spoken up a handful of times already to them in regards to giving a space, but they don't seem to understand. My husband understands where I'm coming from, but he also feels stuck in the middle. I would like to live life on my own terms and, more importantly, not be forced into weekly interactions, as that is not the life I want for myself.
Okay.
Long one.
This lady needs a blessing that your in-laws should not become your outlaws, that it shouldn't be such a difficult relationship. So boundaries are really important. At first, as you're reading this and I'm hearing it, it's like, oh, she's calling every 3 days. So that means she's getting a phone call at least twice a week. And then they have to go there or somebody comes to them once a week. So they're seeing them twice a week and talking to them twice a week. And my first thought is, okay, let's set a boundary and just say, you know, once a week, you know, and either you'll visit us or we'll visit you. But then it was like, I can't even handle once a week. Once you got to the very end, I was like, whoa, okay. So my question would be, what can you handle? Right? Let's just first map it out. Like literally, can you handle a once a week phone call? If you can, set a boundary and say, you know what? I work during the week. That doesn't work for me. Sunday. Or, hey, Tuesday's my light day. Let's talk then. Say, here's the day that I'm available to talk. Let's talk at 2. It's on your terms and you set when you can talk. So that's number one. And how often? And if you can't do it on a weekly basis, then you can tell them every other week I'm available. And then you also have to tell your husband, hey, it's your family. I can't take this on, right? Like I got my family. I'm talking to mine. I'll talk to yours also, but I can't take on the frequency. It's too much for me right now. We'll ease into it. So we need to set those kinds of boundaries, but I can't answer the exact timing. I would say somewhere like in a month, right? How much can you handle in a month? Right? Because a month, you know, 30 days. And if they're used to seeing people multiple times a week in a big family, it's going to be really weird if you're only seeing them once a month. So can it be every other week? Does that work for you? Does it work for you holidays or plan out the month? Sometimes just planning it makes you feel better, right? Like you can't just pop over. Not available. Hey, on the 27th, that works for me. Let's have a barbecue. Great. Yay. Now I'm prepped for it socially, emotionally, and I pick the date and I pick the time that works for me. So my best advice would be to figure out what your boundaries are. Yes, set them. And then you can also own up to it and say, I know that, you know, family and I'm not used to this much communication and I'm easing into it. Here's what works for me right now. And you can be very clear about it and sweet and loving, right? I love you. You love me. Yay. Here's how much I want to talk to you.
Yeah. And I also think that's just simply so much more effective than the indirect, like the passiveness. Like, listen, if the mom is calling and you're just not picking up the phone, but you're not directly saying that you're overwhelming, this is too much, then she's going to call again because she's going to say, oh, I missed you at the wrong time. Like I called you when you were busy. So let me try again when you're not busy. Yeah. So if you're not like outwardly saying like, I can't handle you calling me every 3 days, then like she's going to keep doing it until you finally directly say like this is just
But she's going to need the right words. So this is probably somebody who prefers indirect rather than direct communication. Yeah. And I totally get that. I would also just say just use ChatGPT to like come up. How do I lovingly, sweetly, kindly, gently, and directly explain to my mother-in-law that I only want to see her this often and this day is good for me? Like literally, and say, can you script this so that I can do it? And then look at it, because people who have indirect communication have a really difficult time being direct and setting boundaries. They just kind of give you a hint, which is like, yeah, I didn't pick up the phone. Oh, I wasn't available. You know, they're going to keep calling until
they're just like awkwardly stare at each other. Like, yeah,
I'll tell you, listen, it's okay to do that for today. But the problem is if it keeps going, you're going to block her number in a year from now because you're not going to be able to take the phone even ringing. Yeah. So you do have to address it because otherwise it's going to create unhealthy feelings and a relationship that's not going to prosper.
Yeah. And just to clarify, when you said that she should say to her husband, like you take the reins, are you saying he tell the mom or are you saying she tell the mom?
No, I'm actually saying she should tell the mom, but I'm actually saying that he should say to his mom, listen, call me. She's not used to a big
family. Oh, got you.
Right? Like bother him. Yeah. It's his parents. Don't call her. Yeah. You know, like don't pass. You got married. Don't just pass that whole responsibility off to her. It's nice that they want to welcome her in. But if you really want to be welcoming, welcome her in at her pace. Mm-hmm. Like let's pace it. This is a bit much. She's not used to it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And she might never be used to it. We don't know what she's going to be used to.
Yeah. Perfect. That was amazing advice. So I really appreciate you sharing that. All right, let's wrap this up. Your book is coming out. Actually, the pre-order would be today, right? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. What else do you have coming up? Tell us about the book or just in general what you want to share with the girls before we go.
Okay, so the book is Matchmaker, Matchmaker, Find Me a Love That Lasts. It is great for anybody who is looking for a lasting love, and it is great for anybody who's looking to help somebody who's looking for a lasting love, because I've trained over 350 matchmakers worldwide, and whether you do this as a hobby or for real, there's amazing wisdom, and it's like it's a nonfiction book that reads like a fiction. Like, you hear all the client stories, and like you're going through it, and then I also give you like – I give workbook exercises. I'm like a homework human. If you're one of those people that's like, oh, I want homework, it has homework at the end of every chapter. And that's what I absolutely love, is that it's like real world advice that's actually really going to help you. I also have a podcast, which same like the book, it's called Matchmaker, Matchmaker. It happened to work out, where we talk about love, dating, and relationships. And if anybody wants personal guidance, advice, and support, we do that. We offer relationship and dating coaching. You can go to my name, elizabenshalom.com, and you can find all the information there. I also travel. I do speaking engagements, and I'm all over the whole country and the whole world. So you can find me in a city near you soon.
Amazing. Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.